وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover you in his mercy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qala alladhina la ya'lamuna lawla yukallimuna Allahu aw ta'tina ayah. Kadhalika qala alladhina min qablihim mithla qawlihim. تشابهت قلوبهم قد بينا الآيات لقوم يوقنون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, those without knowledge say, why does Allah not speak to us? Or why do you not show us a sign? Those before them said exactly the same thing. Their hearts are alike. We have already expounded the signs for those who have conviction. Now those without knowledge want Allah to speak to them. It was common amongst various nations that they refuted the proofs and miracles shown to them by the prophets, alayhimus salam. Rather, they wanted to witness miracles that they demanded. One of their demands was that Allah should speak to them. They said, why does Allah not speak to us? Or why do you not show us a sign? So certain commentators have mentioned that the verse refers to a statement of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, while others say it was a statement of the Jews and the Christians. If the verse refers to the polytheists, they fit well into the description of those without knowledge, because they were generally illiterate people. However, if the verse is assumed to refer to the Jews and Christians, then those without knowledge would mean that they behaved as if they had no knowledge. Those before them said exactly the same thing. Their hearts are alike. The people of previous nations also said the same things to their prophets, alayhimus salam, because they were just as obstinate and rebellious. We have already expounded the signs for those who have conviction. All the previous Anbiya and prophets, alayhimus salam, as well as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, performed numerous miracles for the people. However, those who do not wish to believe will not do so, even if the truth is as clear as daylight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qamar, verse 2, even if they see miracles, they turn away saying, this is incessant magic. Verse 109 of Surah An'am says, they swear solemn oaths by Allah that if any sign comes to them from Allah, they will definitely believe therein. Say, signs are only with Allah. How do you know that if the sign comes to them, they will still not believe? They only ask for a miracle because of their obstinacy, but they never really intend to believe if it is shown to them. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhira. وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. Undoubtedly, we have sent you with the truth as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner. You will not be questioned about the people of the blaze. The Prophet ﷺ was sent as Bashir and a Nadir, was sent as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, undoubtedly, we have sent you with truth as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner. The Holy Prophet ﷺ's mission was to teach people the deeds by which they can enter into heaven and Jannah. He described these deeds to people and also warned them about the sins that will lead them to Jahannam and the doom of hell. You will not be questioned about the people of the blaze. Yea, Allah consoles the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by telling him that he should not be grieved about those who refuse to accept his message. His task was merely to propagate Islam. Allah is the one who can make people believe. Allah will not question the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the reason for the rejection of the infidels and the kuffar. Allah says in Surah Ra'd, propagation will be your responsibility and reckoning ours. Verse 21 and 22 of Surah Ghashiyah reads, remind, for verily you are a reminder. You are not a warder unto them. Allah says in the concluding verse of Surah Qaf, we are best aware of what they say. You are not a tyrant over them. So remind with the Quran for those who fear the threat. وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. The Jews and the Christians will never be satisfied with you until you follow their deen, their religion. Say, guidance is only the guidance of Allah. If you were ever to follow their whims after the knowledge that has come to you, you will have no protecting friend, nor any helper against Allah. So the Jews and Christians will never be satisfied with you until you adopt their religion. Ma'alim al-Tanzil reports that the Jews and Christians once proposed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should compromise on certain principles and enter into a settlement with them so that they could accept Islam. In response to this proposal, the above verse was revealed, where Allah says, the Jews and the Christians will never be satisfied with you until you follow their religion. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes that the verse tells the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that even if he has to reproduce the miracles that they demand from him, as mentioned in the previous verse, they will still never be satisfied till he forsakes Islam and follows their religion. Say, guidance is only the guidance of Allah. Anything contrary to Allah's guidance will lead to distant deviation. Thereafter, Allah says, if you were ever to follow their whims after the knowledge that has come to you, you will have no protecting friend, nor any helper against Allah. Although the verse is addressed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it actually applies to this ummah because it was impossible for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow any other deen. The demand of belief and iman is that the believer, the mu'min, should strive only to please Allah, even though it may earn the displeasure of others. Trying to satisfy others at the expense of Allah's pleasure is foolish and detrimental. It is tragic that the Muslims in today's times attempt to imitate the ways and manners of the infidels of the kuffar. They feel no shame in shaking hands with strange women and even feel proud to wear the tie. In doing all this, they feel that their kuffar colleagues will be pleased with them. Otherwise, they feel that they will be ridiculed. It is extremely sad that they hanker after praise from the Jews and Christians, even though they earn Allah's displeasure. They fail to realize that these few deeds will never satisfy the infidels, the kuffar. The infidels will be satisfied only when the Muslim has converted to their religion. Muslims do not need praise from the infidels, from the kuffar, because they already have the accolade of being believers from amongst the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Securing honor from the infidels will lead to disgrace in both the worlds. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, do they seek honor from them, from the kuffar? All honor belongs only to Allah. The verse states that the Jews and Christians will not be satisfied until the Muslims follow their religion. The word deen, religion, is singular, whereas the Jews and Christians follow different deens, religions. Therefore, one would expect that the word deen be deens be used instead, the plural. So commentators have mentioned that Allah has used the word as a singular to denote that although the infidels belong to various denominations and religions, they all share the common factor of infidelity, kufr. Therefore, there actually exists only two deens, Islam and that which is opposed to Islam, that is infidelity and kufr. It is also an acknowledged fact that all religious groups unite as allies to fight Islam, making them one team. Al-kufru millatun wahida. Worse is the fact that many so-called Muslim sects are also plotting to destroy Muslim countries. A word of caution to the Muslims. The above verse informs Muslims that they should never compromise any Islamic principles to appease the kuffar, because Islam is not a man-made religion, but a code of life ordained by Allah. Muslims have no right to alter any Islamic principles. The kuffar, the infidels, alter their deen, their religion, because their deen is a product of their own doings. The laws of Islam cannot be changed, even if some people collectively try to do so. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those to whom we have given the book, recite it as it rightfully should be recited. These are the ones who believe in it. Whoever does not believe it shall certainly be among the losers. Those who recite the book as it deserves to be recited. The above verse praises the believers as people who recite the Quran as it rightfully should be recited. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an have interpreted the verse to mean that these people carry out the deeds enjoined by the Quran and abstain from what it forbids. They recite the Quran as it was revealed, without making any changes to the words or the meaning. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi interprets the verse to mean that they practice those verses that are lucid, believing in those that are mutashabih, allegorical, and refer their doubts and queries to the men of knowledge. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that this verse refers to people who plead for Allah's mercy when they recite any verse mentioning His mercy, and they implore Him for safety from punishment when they recite verses which mention His punishment. Reciting the Quran as it was revealed means that the Quran must be recited in compliance to the rules of Tajweed. The Arabic alphabet comprises of 29 letters, all of which have to be recited correctly, together with all their vocal attributes. Negligence in this regard will lead one to recite a letter as another, thereby changing the meaning of words. By doing so, one's salah may also be nullified in certain instances. To correct this, it is imperative that every Muslim should study the subject of Tajweed. Allah then says that those who recite the Quran as it should be recited are the ones who believe in it. It is noted from this that one of the demands of belief is that the Quran be recited as it rightfully deserves to be recited. Whoever does not believe it shall certainly be the losers. The ultimate abode will be nothing less than Jahannam in hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding the noble Quran, of propagating the message of the noble Quran, and of reading the Quran kama haqqahu, in the manner in which it must be recited. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.